There's only one person you could think of. Now, this is from the press materials. I am not making it up. This is what it says. A bodacious, bedimpled, pert-nosed, well-endowed knockout. She's Lonnie Anderson, and here she is. Hi, Lonnie.
Oh, you're playing my song.
In more ways than one, perhaps. So nice.
That must have been a really old, like, description.
No, I don't think so. You know, I've got
that little baby girl on WKRP.
No, I've got this magical power that you may not know about. I can actually see all my guests. So
fabulous.
Yeah, well, sometimes maybe not. But at this point in time, it is fabulous. It is fabulous to talk to you. And I want to.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And you've got a new game show you're involved with. I want to get to that in a moment, but I want to reminisce a little bit. So you were on television here and there, and people may have known your face or your body, would watch you on television. And then came along the show called WKRP. And it was only on a couple of seasons, yet.
It was four. Actually, from 78 to 82.
Right. And here's a show that wasn't on for, there are shows that have been on forever, right? And yet, forever, this program will be seen in reruns and reruns and reruns.
Reruns forever. And you know, we did 90 episodes, and it just has been one of the most popular shows in reruns since then. And sometimes shows are just memorable for either the chemistry of the cast, the fact. What I think is so special about WKRP is the humor came out of the story, so it wasn't about a bunch of jokes that then get dated.
Mm-hmm. It was
the humor. The stories. It's like Golden Girls. Those stories are funny always.
Exactly. Exactly right. And there are some classic episodes. I'm thinking Turkeys. But there are others as well and to me, you know, I work in radio, so I know those people. But, I mean, you did a great job, or the people that created the show did a great job.
A great job.
Yeah, of recreating characters.
We would travel around to radio stations, and everybody would say, well, this is our Herb, and this is our big guy. And I'd say, do you have a Jennifer? This is our Jennifer. You know, it was just kind of like meeting all of your doppelgangers.
However, there's a double-edged sword, perhaps, to being on one of those shows and being a very specific popular character, which you were, as Jennifer Marlowe.
Right.
Did you have a hard time finding roles after that?
Well, I have to tell you that because she was a breakthrough character, now, young women today would be like, what, are you kidding? You can be glamorous and smart at the same time. And blonde, but in 1978, that wasn't such a popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for Jennifer Marlowe to come around and be look like Lana Turner, as our creator used to say, and be the smartest person in the room, was a really unique, groundbreaking character.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to be part of that because I'm not really a blonde. So
what?
I
had no idea.
Grew up in Minnesota as a black-haired Sunday school teacher. And so that to be that, I always thought I'd just, after KRP was done, I'd just go back to my black hair. But guess what? Never happened. And Grant Tinker, who ran MTM, we were an MTM show, and Mary Tyler Moore, laughed at me one time when I said, well, you know, I'll go back to my black hair. And Grant said, well, who would ever spend that kind of money on you and black hair? So I was like, okay, you created this image. And I think younger actresses today are more chameleon-like, and they can change their look. But in our era, you created a look, and that was your look.
Did you say you were a Sunday school teacher?
Yes, I was. I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Boy, you're a good actress then. So
I have to tell you something about Chicago, because
yes.
I used to go back and forth to Chicago. And I did my first national commercial with an agent named Shirley Hamilton.
I know who they were. I did stuff for them.
So anyway, I go way back with you guys.
You sure do. So this was the big agency. I did a couple commercials back in the day. These were radio commercials that you did then, huh?
I did my first National Secret deodorant television commercial was booked out of Chicago.
Out of Chicago. So I have my uncle wants to know about Night at the Roxbury. He says, one of his favorite movies ever.
Oh, see, now then I get different generations of fans, see, because that was in the 90s, and I played Barbara Butabi, and I was the mother of Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan.
How was that?
And, oh gosh, we had a good time.
I imagine.
Oh, my goodness, and Dan Hedaya played my husband. What a fun group. Oh my gosh, I was so excited to be involved in that, and I got to use a little bit of a dumb blonde voice, which I never did because I so didn't want to be typecast in the beginning. And then, like later in my career, I kept saying, I have this cute dumb blonde voice, and I'm just desperate to use it. Now nobody wants it.
Can we get a little of that, or that's not a fair question to ask?
There's a little bit of that in that movie, in Night at the Roxbury, and Amy Heckerling, who directed it, was so sweet to let me fool around.
I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm sure that you can go to one of the channels. I know. You can go to one of the channels, and you can find that movie. I am told, I've not seen it, I'm told I really need to see that.
It's very, very funny, and I get young people yell my lines at me in, like, parking lots.
What?
And grocery stores and stuff like that from that Night at the Roxbury.
That is so cool. Mark, you're on WGN with Lonnie Anderson. Hi.
Yes, Lana, I think Jennifer Marlowe was my favorite of the characters, and I always tell people that I really find her saucy, and I love it. But let me tell you, one evidence of the skill of the writers is that by the time we get to the episode in which Jennifer Marlowe is taken advantage of by the photographer who secretly photographs her in the nude, you hate that photographer and you want Jennifer to be the winner. I mean, you really feel for her as a character, and you think that the photographer is a slime ball and you want to see him dispensed with and put in jail if possible.
I'm so glad our writers are successful.
Yeah, well, and also, again, that goes back. I mean, it's exactly what you were saying. That was not typical necessarily back even, what was that? Well, it was longer ago than I'd like to think, right?
82. I mean, it just wasn't, you know, people were glamorous and wowy and maybe not so bright. Or maybe at least Charlie's Angels were arresting people. But not in comedy. Comedy wasn't there yet. They had pretty ladies like Lucy mm-hmm. and Mary Tyler Moore, but not glamorous ladies.
Yeah, and you hope to change that in a sense. We are talking to Lonnie Anderson. Lots more questions for her. And you can see Lonnie on the Hollywood Museum Squares. Kind of like Hollywood Squares.
Fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, Lonnie, when we come back.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Don't move. This is exciting for me, talking to Lonnie Anderson, because there's so many reasons for it, but mostly because I watched when I was a young guy, Lonnie Anderson, and was very excited, Lonnie. And I'm just as excited to talk to you. People have texted and said, wow, she sounds wonderful. I don't know what they expect you to sound like, but that's a compliment.
Lovely.
That's still a compliment. And I need to ask you this because so many people have asked me to ask you this. So as I'm asking you this, I'm ducking because you might want to throw things at me. I don't know.
Oh, dear, nothing like that.
Well, no, it's about Burt Reynolds, you know, who recently passed away. And you and Burt Reynolds were the big hot couple.
Oh, we were together for 12 years.
Yeah. So tell me.
And you don't stay with somebody for 12 years if they're an ogre.
Yeah, yeah.
So you stay with somebody because you love them.
So when you read so many of the tabloid reports after he passed away, of course you were sad by his passing, but did it make you sad or even angry that...
You know, I just don't read them.
Yeah.
Because that was a choice I made really early on during WKRP, as a matter of fact, because I was never out of a tabloid, it seemed, after WKRP. And so my daughter and I used to talk about it, and she said, you know, Mom, and I said, you know what? We live our life, and that tabloid person is living some other life that we don't know anything about. It's just separate from us. It's pretend. Because she said, well, why don't they ever show us, like, curled up in front of the TV eating popcorn and stuff? I said, because that's just normal,
yeah.
And they want abnormal. So we live our life, and then whoever that Lonnie Anderson is living that tabloid life, I hope she's having a wonderful time.
Well, people may not remember, you know, but Burt Reynolds was one of the most common guests on talk shows, including The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. So good,
right.
So quick, so funny. You tell me about Burt Reynolds.
Oh, gosh, he was the funniest person that I've ever known. He was clever. He was quick. A fabulous director, which I think he doesn't get enough credit for. An incredible actor, because a lot of times people who are funny cannot be serious. And then, again, he was also dangerous. So he was, you know, and he was number one at the box office for 5 years running. And held that title by himself. There were other people like John Wayne and Shirley Temple who were number one at the box office for the same amount of years, but his were consecutive. And so he's iconic. And right now, Quentin and I, his ashes have been interred at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, mm-hmm. and we're erecting a big statue, because everybody wants to leave, you know, something. They want to visit with him. He's iconic. He has fans. And my son said, I'd like to go and talk to Dad once in a while. So there's a lovely statue that we're having, that we commissioned, and it'll be dedicated in September.
That is so nice to hear. Where will it be dedicated at? Somewhere in Florida, I assume?
No. It's at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, you said that. Yes.
And he's surrounded by all the icons that he admired.
Well, he did, didn't he? So he was, and I would understand that, kind of in awe of the Jimmy Stewarts of the world or the John Waynes of the world.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, because of that, I was 10 years younger than Bert, and all those people were like 10 years older. So when I first started dating him, I had the privilege of then being around all of those iconic stars. I mean, I was so lucky. When Bert was out of town, he'd like set me up for people to take me to events. Like, your date will be Richard Pryor and Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow.
And, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay. And come on back in the dressing room and join the guys, Frank and Dean and Sammy.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it was like a fairy tale life.
Was it a fairy tale? Oh, do you miss that?
No, I mean, I'm so glad I had it, because I have wonderful stories to tell, and I just can't believe the people I've met. You know, it continues. I still live in Los Angeles, and, you know, now we're getting to be the generation that people want to meet.
Well, I think there are many reasons why people want to meet you, and friends, you'll get a chance to do that in a sense. There's a new game show coming out that you're going to be a part of, called the Hollywood Museum Squares. It's kind of like Hollywood Squares.
It is Hollywood Squares, but it's the set. It looks perfect, but of course we're all zoomed in, and there are five shows, and you can buy any one of them or all of them and see them. They've lengthened it now. It was going to be July 10th that it was over. Now it's till August 10th, and What's so wonderful about it is Peter Marshall came back, John Davidson, Tom Bergeron, and Mark Summers. They're different hosts, and all five shows have different stars. And I'm the only female center square.
Really?
Now,
did you do the original Hollywood Squares?
I did. So when I started out and WKRP first started, you never know if your show's going to stay on the air or not. And I thought, ooh, I better do every game show or anything anybody asks me to do, so that if this job doesn't work out, I'll get another one.
It's work. Yeah, sure. Was that
and
fun?
So, but I really love Peter Marshall. I loved the game shows. And so this was really fun for me to do, and all the money is going to support the Hollywood Museum, where a lot of our memorabilia is stored, including a dress that I happen to be the only person who's ever worn since Marilyn Monroe.
Really?
And it is at the Hollywood Museum. And when it was dedicated, I got to wear it and dress up like Marilyn.
Ooh, really? So you're that's very cool. So you're going to be the center square. That's kind of a bit more pressure. So when the host, whoever the host du jour happens to be, asks you the questions,
right?
Do you get to know what those questions are in advance so you can, you know, consult
a
comedy
you don't
writer?
Know the question. You don't know the question, but they give you like a fake answer and a true answer, and then a joke answer that you can then embellish on or make up your own, or if you happen to know what it really is. So you've got like a multiple choice.
What was
the really clever people, of course, like Paul Lynde and so many comedians just went with their own stuff.
So that's what I was going to ask you about. I mean, some of the greatest comics were on that show, actually.
Oh, I know. And
yeah.
So things that are so, like, not allowed today were said on Hollywood Squares. You know, things have changed. And, even on WKRP, I listen to some things and think, ooh, you could never get away with that today. You'd never be able to say that today. So, so Hollywood Squares was even a little risque.
Do you think we're too careful today?
I don't think so. I think we need this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And having been a marching feminist from the 60s, you know, I can't believe we're still having to do it. But I'm right there joining, this time, my granddaughters.
How nice.
So, nice.
Well, You sound wonderful as right. You're clearly one smart lady. I'd love to have you back on again to tell some of those stories that we just don't have time for.
You know, I have some funny stories to share with you about Chicago. So I think we must talk again because you have to hear my funny How I Met Hugh Hefner story.
Okay, that's a tease, as we say
that's
in the biz.
Yeah, that's a tease.
If you've ever heard a tease, that's a tease.
That's a tease.
So the URL to get to watch the Hollywood Museum squares is really too long for me to rattle off on the radio. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we podcast everything at WGNradio.com. So give my producer here a couple of hours and then go to WGNradio.com and you'll be able to find, or my website, stevedale.tv, and you'll be able to find this link up. I'm going to be watching it. This sounds like so much fun. It's been so much fun to meet you.
Well, it was so much fun to do, and it was so much fun to see everybody. And I think because of the nature of the times, people are looking for a little nostalgia. I hear that Leave It to Beaver reruns are just through the roof.
And in fact, I've heard that too. And in fact, next week, one of the participants, John Davidson, will be on this show. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lonnie Anderson.
Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. I will take you up on that offer to have you on again.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.